I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Open Meeting Act is posted on the southeast corner of the wall. Attendance by observation, Juergens, Dorn, Bauman, Adams, Lytle, Beyer, Setzer. First thing is a consent agenda, which is the general agenda. Approve minutes of meeting held April 18th, 2012. Approve all claims through May 2nd in the amount of $320,091.14. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve permit 904 for Lower Big Blue NRD to place water lines under County and Townships Road for Wymore Rural Water Project with attached map for occupying the right-of-way locations. Approve permit 905 for Norris Public Power District to place an electric line under Township Road, northeast corner of Section 1, Township 5, Range and 6 East, in the southeast quarter section, 3657. Approve permit 906-907 for Roars Machinery to place electric line under Township Road in southwest quarter, Section 12, northwest quarter, Section 13, Township 2, Range 6 East, and northeast quarter section 1, Township 2, Range 7 East, northwest quarter section 6, Township 2, 8 East. Approve section specs and call for bids on 2012 3/4 ton 4x4 crew cab pickup and on a 2012 1 ton regular cab chassis. Cab, approve reappointing Bobby Baker, 8957 East Apple Road, Firth, Nebraska, the Gage County Veterans Service Committee. His term will expire July 2012.
Make a motion to accept the consent agenda as presented.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Byers. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve. Jane Ford Widoff, you're up. Public Health Solutions update on Public Health Solutions priority issues. Oh, I forgot. I'll do a public comment after you get done, Jane. I forgot that.
Okay. Well, I don't know.
Nah.
I have streets for you, but you can't even.
We can accept the bids the way they are. We can refer to the
committee. We don't
want to
award bids.
No. We don't need to. No, we're not. No. Well, we thought that one. Right.
Thank you.
Okay. That was a lot.
Here. Thank you, Jane.
Thank you. Well, since the last time I was here, I wanted to just bring you up to date on some of the things that we're doing. Natalie Kingston from our office, she's been working with the Safe Routes Program to increase safe walking and biking to school. She's continued working in Beatrice, although her grant is coming to an end. But the voltage unit, the one that uses radio frequencies to count kids going walking and biking, is still working, and also incentives are provided by a volunteer that counts up the participation. And the things that have been distributed are like Subway, you know, Subway coupons, also the Beatrice Bucks, I think is what you call them. I might not call them the right thing. And she's also been active, as she is with all the other schools, in Walk Wednesdays. In other words, it's all geared to increasing walking and biking on the theme of her project. The other thing that we did this year is we had a small grant from the state to do FOBT screening or increase that. One of the problems we have in our district and in this county in particular is that there are low rates of screening for some chronic diseases. And if you get people early, you know, you can get those things treated, and it lowers costs, improves quality of life, and whatever. So we've been working with the hospitals to distribute the fecal occult blood test kit, and it's what it is. And I think Beatrice distributed 54 kits in their health fair, and it's kind of a community-wide effort. You know, people that have had the disease speak on behalf of the importance of using the screening. And, you know, it's not the, you know, we don't get the depth of what we would like because we have such a small amount of money, but we do appreciate what we are able to do. These are my little treats. I didn't give you anything to eat because I don't want to get a reputation. But just some things that represent programs that we are doing or will be doing. These are stress balls. They smell good, too. So when you get tough, you can just stress them out. Also, you know, we've been working with Beatrice and really every county on community gardens. You know, we work with other agencies, too. And this was one of the flyers they passed out, and you might want to look at it. It looks like it's kind of innocuous, and it is, but this has seeds in it. So if you plant this leaf, you'll get something to grow. I'm not sure what it is, but anyway, because I can't read.
Right,
yeah. Then in the other,
no.
And that, you know, that project is one of those things where we're trying to get everything started, and then in the long run, we're not going to be there. You know, it's a matter of developing capacity in communities. Also, I have deep wipes, and that's for the West Nile project coming up. And I wanted to ask Dawn if she's going to be willing to pass these out again.
Fine.
Oh, great. And then the last thing, this is going to be the thrill. If you have kids, I can't even open it. Sorry. Don't let my dentist see what I'm doing. these are bracelets to show what your UV exposure is. And it's really pretty practical. What you do is you put this on here, and you can put, you know, sunscreen on, you put it over the bracelet and whatever. And whenever the bracelet gets hit by UV rays, it turns pink. So by that way, you can tell when you have to replenish your sunscreen or whatever. And they do work all summer. So they're a good thing for kids, you know, particularly in pools. We are doing another very small grant. The state loves to give us these teensy little grants, but we appreciate it. I think it might be $2,000 or whatever, but to work with the pools to get more shade structures and also to distribute these bands. I think they're just great.
Passing those out where, Jane? I didn't hear you.
Oh, they'll be the primary distribution point will be the pools. And we're also considering them, distributing them along with the West Nile material to the clerks because, you know, that would be the best. We had, last year we had bug bans, you know, that shoo away mosquitoes, except that they, for little kids, and they're great, but they don't work that long, and they're very expensive. I think they were $5 a crack, and we can't really afford too much of that, so we may just go with these bands. I wanted to tell you also that some other things that have happened, and that is that, you know, we've been doing this Medicaid access program, and it's been done in the state since the 90s, but our department has been doing it for about 4 years. And what it is to try to decrease inappropriate ER use and to get people to show up for appointments so they stay in care. And it's directed a lot towards children. Well, that program may be discontinued. We don't really know. You know, we've made an appeal. And I know some members of the legislature have asked on our behalf that it be considered. But as it is now, Vivian Shimon said she does not want to continue because she sees it as a duplication. But we'll see how that goes. But on a good news is I've been working with the hospitals for 5 years on this whole issue of ER use. And you know how hard it is for rural hospitals now. I mean, you have a wonderful hospital. But, you know, what's underground in all of this is there may be changes in reimbursement and changes in how funds are distributed. And we want to have our rural health care facilities be absolutely as strong as possible. And, you know, we want them to be cost-effective and whatever. One of the challenges they have to deal with are people that are uninsured and show up there for care. You know, physicians, well, yeah, they show up there for care, and then they have to eat the cost. And, of course, they have to eat the cost, too, on on some other, like Medicaid or whatever, where they don't get the entire reimbursement. And anyway, that contributes to a fair amount of uncompensated costs, which ends up being a cost that we all bear. So, you know, I think it's three times we submitted a grant application in this past year. We did get this grant application. You could have thrown me over it with a feather. I couldn't believe it, but it's $150,000 for each of 3 years, and this is for case management to help the hospitals reduce inappropriate ER use, and we're in the process of working with them now. They will get some resources from the grant. It's not a whole lot of money when you figure six hospitals, but we'll do our best, but I'm very proud that we've done that. Another thing that we're considering, well, I should mention, we're engaged in a replanning process with the hospitals. You know, they have an obligation to do planning, and we'll be working with them. And then, in addition, we have a scholarship to what they call a management academy in public health. And what this is it it's a fancy schmancy what do you call it? Course or involvement that's sponsored by the Centers for Disease Control to get staff and community people together and do a business plan on ideas that that may be important for the health of people in our district. And the staff yesterday met together, and they wanted to, what they've been kicking around with people in the community are these, is a day camp in the summer, because we have a lot of kids unattached, and there just aren't enough activities. You know, we want to increase the activity. So we'll see if that is cost-effective. So let's see if there's anything else. You know, last year we had no West Nile. We hope we have none this year. Oh, our flu levels were way, way down, and particularly down in our district, I like to say, but I don't know if that's true. But we're going to continue with our Skip Flu program, and the reason why we do that, the Skip Flu program is immunizing the kids in the schools, and that is because they are a major vector for the transmission of flu in a community. So when they're immunized at a good level, then you don't have as many deaths and whatever in among older people. And we will be back asking you for contributions unless we get vaccine from the state, which I don't know that we will. But anyway, we've appreciated your support for all the activities of the department, and if there's anything that you're concerned about, you don't think we're paying attention to, please let me know. I'll tell you, I read the paper about you all the time, and I think this is one of the finest communities. I was just remarking to myself that how healthy this community is. And I'm not talking about physical health, because, you know, you have your rankings and somebody else ranks you. But when you talk about a community really attending to its problems, identifying its problems, this is one of the healthiest I see. So it's to your credit. So I thank you for your time, and don't forget your stress balls. They do smell great.
I'm going to make sure, I'm not sure if Doug Kennedy got one. We want all the news media to be changed.
Oh, my God.
he particularly liked, well, I won't get into it.
Well,
thank you, Jane.
Thank you. Thank you, Jane. Public comment request for future agenda items. I skipped that to begin with. My apologies. And Mike Teeter, Nebraska Public Power, update on benchmark study. Did I say your name right?
You said it.
Okay.
Right. Hello again. Last time I was here, we presented you a check with the city for the increased heating, cooling systems, and the lighting system. So just kind of bring you up to speed on that. I said we could do a benchmark, find out how you did from the benchmark period of time, and I've got some information here I want to hand out. So I got a limited number, so
I got eight of them, so we can leave somebody out.
We'll look at it and pass it on.
Thank you, sir.
So positive, we all want to keep a couple of them.
Thank you.
Thank you.
class today. I hope that is my math going, but no. Benchmarking, it follows the idea, where have you, you need a baseline, and the baseline was year 2008, because back at that time you were still using natural gas, you did not have the geothermal system in, you did not do the windows, or you're in the process of doing windows, you did the, upgraded your lighting, heating, cooling system over the last 3-4 years. And so we have to have a benchmark. We have to have a baseline to start from. And I want you to look at the information I just gave to you. I got broken down as far as what your square foot each of the building is. I confirmed the building through drawings and also with Dave Jones giving me information. What you had is a hot water boiler system or a steam system, some rooftop units or air conditioning systems, and no controls. What we do is take all the energy use that you had, electrical and natural gas. The top section of that is what your energy consumption was, your demand for energy that they bill you, the total electric bill. Then we break it down into cost per kilowatt hour and cost per square foot and in as a kWh, kilowatt hours, so we have a baseline of what you're using on a per square foot. The number of days in a period, then kilowatt hours per day on the very top part. The second half is the natural gas. The second bottom part of that first page there is your natural gas consumption of that year, your gas bill, therms, the cost per therm, and then the therms per square foot. Now we add the total cost together, and we have to have a common denominator. So we have the total cost, but we have BTUs per square foot. I can convert kilowatt hours into therm BTUs, but you also can convert the natural gas usage per therm into a BTU. It's kind of like the common denominator between all energy use. So we base everything off of BTUs per square foot, and that's your baseline information. So you know where you're at on this. As you look at the bottom of the square, the bottom portion of that, I got the square footage, how much it costs you per square foot, the kilowatt hours per square foot, for the, that's annual for that year 2008, and the therms per square foot, and the next one is BTUs per square foot. You had 44,762 is what we calculated. The maximum watts per square foot is 2.3. That's just another number, benchmark number. If you look at the next year, as you follow through that, the numbers, you've seen nothing in the second half of that, on the second page of those, as used year 2009, 2010. Since you shut your natural gas off basically at the end of that year of 2008, you have nothing down below. So your total cost systems, your cost per square foot is 53 cents per square foot. Kilowatt hours per square foot went up because you have no natural gas. You're using electric to heat the place. And that's how it's figured on that. So your BTUs per square foot dropped from 44,762 to 24,510. Now, I'm not going to bore you with every page, but if you go to the very last page, is what you really want to see. So, if I can get my page turned back there. In other words, this page shows everything as from 2008 to 2011. We base everything off of the baseline year of 2008. So percent energy savings compared to baseline in 2009, 45% energy savings, 52% in 2010, and 39% in 2011. And the cost, when I added all the costs up and compared it to the baseline in 2009, you saved $10,000 in utility costs, and $15,000 in 2010, and about $9,000 in 2011. So this gives you a good indication what you've done and how it has paid you back by doing the energy efficiency upgrades.
Any indication of why 10 was such a good year and 11 went the other way?
Mainly is 2010 is due to the weather. In the first part of 2010, if I remember right, we had a little bit colder winter, but in the end of the year, it was pretty warm at the end of 2010. And then in 2011, it got cold in January, February, and March, pretty much. Actually, it was about the last half of December and all January and February. So that's why 2010, higher cost, because it was colder in those months. And the summer months in 2011, it was warmer. So you added more cooling costs. So.
Okay.
Got any questions?
Kathy.
Yeah, Kathy.
This was prior to me coming onto the board, and so, and this may be more a question for some of the other people here, but what did this system cost to put in? Does anybody remember
that?
We'd
have to pull that.
Okay.
It's in that plan.
Or your geothermal. You had the geothermal put in. You had all the new systems put in. You pulled the, removed all the old.
But we're saving about $10,000 a year.
On average, I'd say around $10,000 a year compared to baseline.
Actually, it's $11,400. $1,000 a month.
Kathy, yeah, I almost think it was around $600,000. Does that sound right, Danny?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Okay.
But we also did the windows, the lighting.
And I have no idea what it cost to do the windows. The lighting, that was part of the deal that I came up with for some stuff.
It was because we're all electric now.
You're all electric right now, yes.
There was a bunch of.
Did you bring a check again?
Insulated. I think the roof probably.
Can you come back next time if you bring cash? We would appreciate it.
It might bounce if it has a check. Cash, I could understand where it would come through.
We appreciate it, Michael.
Yes, we do. Thank you. Any other questions?
I think this will help if anybody's asking why did you
well,
do
it. Well, it does.
And this
right
really
there.
Kind of fills out why you did it. So,
do you want a second to look that up, Matt, or no?
No, I'd probably have to have the clerk pull
okay.
it. We'd have to pull the windows. There's so many different things.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
That system, I think the geothermal, that's, I can't remember. You can't commit that. What did you have for lunch yesterday? You remember?
I could probably look at the courthouse, the beginning of the base.
Well, thank you.
You bet. And I'll try to keep you abreast on some other information as the year goes on, because when 2012 gets done, I can just send you a report.
There
you don't
go.
Need to actually come here. So
okay.
You got pretty good the gist idea of what we got here. All right.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Need a motion to put report on file.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Byers, seconded by Bauman. Discussion. Vote 7-0 to approve. Approve or disapprove placing EEOC dismissal report Cleaver versus Gage County on file.
Motion to approve.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Lyle. Discussion. We received the dismissal and notice of rights from federal court, U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission from the St. Louis District Office. And the EEOC has adopted the findings of the state or local fair employment practice agencies that investigated this. And as we knew all along, everything has been dismissed. So any more discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve. 9:15, we have a timed event. Building and Grounds Committee report.
Nothing. I think Mr. Teeter's report was what we had this time. Otherwise, we're just being pretty cool.
Okay.
Rex, I'll talk to Kendall Schuster, who's doing the jail. I think he told me that tomorrow the fire marshal's coming to look. Hopefully approve it. So just an update on that, what the bid was.
Thank you for warning us. That's a good thing when the fire marshal's coming.
Yeah. That was his comment. He's coming tomorrow, Thursday, to look at that and hopefully approve it. So.
Okay. Economic development.
Yes. Economic development. We you should have all had in a packet, or not in your packet, your handout here. Our last meeting, the growth area, Gage Area Growth Enterprise, the bylaws. These are the preliminary bylaws. a lot of discussion we had at that meeting. If you look to the second page, and Matt was there and came up with different classes or different contributions for the public part of the funding. And to start with, what levels do we put in? Andy Carruthers kind of came up with this type of program here or whatever. And Matt threw out some numbers for some of these different memberships, and that was more for discussion. And at our next meeting now, our next meeting has been moved to May 17th, so you guys know that too. It's been moved to May 17th down at the city auditorium in that room again, because the 9th and the 10th didn't work for everybody. But our next meeting, we're hoping to finalize these articles, the bylaws or whatever. And part of that is we need feedback, or if from the numbers that I wrote examples on the side there. I think everybody has that. I hope everybody has that on their page. Yes. Yeah, the 5,000 and the 2,000. Feedback and thoughts on what to actually put those numbers in there. We can adjust them, I believe, later on in other years. We can adjust them how going forward and see how the funding works and how the contributions, if some of those aren't in quite the right class or category. But sure would appreciate any feedback from anybody on that. I'm glad Matt threw out some numbers before we left that night, so that we probably had 15 minutes discussion just on those numbers that night. And not that you're worried about. You want to make it so that people want to contribute, that they want to be a part of it, and at the same time, not too excessive or too high that that's too much for me or whatever. Part of what some of these show in there, it says they would have voting rights, and what the proposal is that, not in the proposal, in here, we will have an annual meeting once a year, and their voting rights at that annual meeting, that is where they will have their voting rights. They won't have the voting rights for
day-to-day,
or engage the day-to-day activities, but they would be a member and have the voting rights at that annual meeting. And at that annual meeting, the way the bylaws are today here, proposed, is where we would elect new members. We'd have a nominating committee that would be made up of people off of the engage. They would have to come forward for it. We're going to stagger the the terms, I guess. And then have every year you would vote on different, and the voting rights would, that's one of the things that they would be able to vote on, is voting on the new members for Engage at that time.
Myron?
Yes.
Would the contributing members be able to serve on the board? Like, if I give you a donation, would I be able to be elected onto the actual Engage board?
Yes, you would be. Contributing doesn't guarantee you that you would be able to be elected onto there or whatever. But you could, if you contribute, you could be. If you would be one of the people nominated to be a new member, yes, you could be on the board.
Even a non-contributing person from the community, if they're brought forward via the nominating committee, you don't have to. This doesn't buy you a seat. This doesn't buy you a vote.
Right.
And you're not inherently on the board just by your organization or a person paying for this. The nominating committee would bring those people forward.
Or if you give X number of dollars, if they throw out some figure, if you give X number of dollars, that does not guarantee you a seat on the board. No. You to be a seat on the board, you still need to go through the nominating. You need to be nominated in that. You can make known to the nominating committee that you'd like to be on the board, and then it's up to them to choose the people to nominate, and then you still need to be voted in or whatever. So.
Well, I just want to say that I have been opposed to private donations because of the past problems and the perception of buying your seat on the board. And so this part of it I would personally not be in favor of. But
But this is, Kathy, and I can explain to it later. This is set up so that you're not buying a seat on the board.
Right.
Right.
But
it's public perception is what Kathy is
talking. I understand.
Right.
I understand.
Because, if I make a donation and I get on the board, it is perceived as I bought
a seat on the board.
And so I think that's not that I would prefer not using tax dollars for for anything. However, I think this is a good place where tax dollars should be used rather than private funds.
I understand
where you're coming from on that, where you're going, but historically your utilities a lot of times are your private donors. So, and historically the utilities who can provide some of our database history and people that are interested. So time will tell on how that works. I'm curious on what we will get for private investors. Some areas have received quite a bit. Some receive zero, but the opportunity is there. Something I want to clear up, Myra, and I want you to answer it. Last night, I think two city council candidates said that this process has not been open and transparent. Have you had any meetings that were not open to the public? Have you had any meetings that weren't? The press wasn't there.
And I can't say what they're referring to. Early on, maybe we were not. You know, when we started a year ago, or more than a year ago, and some of those meetings were not.
And that was just planning.
That was more the planning stage. And but then after a while, then they came open public. And I guess these two guys over here could answer more.
We've gone to at least 6 to 8 meetings so
okay.
far.
Okay. Yeah. Luke, same. Your firm's been represented, though, correct?
Yeah. Scott's been there.
So, I mean, that's an uninformed statement.
No, they've been very open. I think there's only one time that – well, I know there's been several times at the meeting, at some of these meetings we've held with Smart Solutions, and Bob or somebody will come out and say, you know, they'll visit with you or make the comment, this isn't really for public, you know, or whatever, but then we'll leave you. I think there's only one time in all the meetings I've attended that we actually had Doug and Scott leave or whatever, that because of the discussion we were going to have, and, you know, we wanted a, whatever you call it, executive session or whatever. I think there's only been one time, and that didn't last real long, but otherwise they have been open to the public. You know, and even putting this information out, because I know the paper had these dollar figures out there. You know, we're looking really for a lot of feedback, or any feedback, I guess, from the public. You know, and no, the meetings have definitely been open to the public, okay. And they have been open for the paper and the radio.
And the meetings I've been to give the both the print and the radio media credit, when there have been opportunities for them to have discussions offline, if you will, they stayed in the room and they used appropriate candor, and those things did not come out. So I appreciate that. You know, the process all along was to engage
the miscommunication
that every meeting
those that heard it last night, are you comfortable with the explanation?
Well, I think for the future, something that needs to be stressed, you're going to have a certain number of people that are going to accuse this board of being non-transparent when they have to be non-transparent. When you do economic development and you're working with prospects that don't want their names to be released, they don't want information about their possible investments, they want to meet privately, the economic development group, Engage, is going to have to acknowledge that and work with them. I am absolutely certain that the board that's being elected and what they're doing is trying to be as transparent as possible. But I hope nobody thinks that every single thing that they do is going to be able to be transparent, because it can't be. To recruit certain companies, you can't be. You have to keep it private. Now, there are those who will criticize that and say, oh, that's you're trying to hide things from us. It's not it. It's a matter of part of the recruiting process needs to be private. So I hope that people will remember that in the future. It's nothing trying to hide things from the public. It's a matter of you have to do that to recruit companies.
And this agreement, remember, this is the bylaws for the 501c6. This is not our agreement with the city to contract with them. This is just being brought forward so that we are aware and the public is aware of the process that's taking place. But there is an agreement that the county attorney and the city attorney are working on that we will be responsible for reviewing to go into agreement with this group. And again, the funding for this, the idea is to try and seek out public funds to provide local property tax relief for funding for economic development, because the way that we have it budgeted right now, which we haven't hardly spent any, was $50,000 from inheritance fund, $50,000 from local property tax, and that's the county's portion. So quick math, 22,000 people in our county, we have budgeted $50,000 worth of property tax. It's a little over $2 per person.
So you look at that as an investment in the community, $2 per person. In my family, it's less than $20. So I think that that's very important. In this year, we've been very upfront going through the expenditures, as much openness as possible with regard to those expenditures, and we need to be. But the idea was this Smart Solutions brought up that there are opportunities for private funds, and as those private funds come in, then we can rein back hopefully some of the public funds. And I agree with you, Kathy. You know, we need to use as little tax dollars as possible. And there was a significant amount of discussion about people not buying a seat and not buying a vote. But if there's businesses out there that want to be part of this process and they have the experience and the wherewithal and the contacts, we need them here. Yes. So, but there was a lot of discussion similar to what you
and not just this last meeting, at all the meetings, you know, and at the meetings we had between the city and the council, that advisory group too, we've had a lot of discussions about all of that. It's not just taken lightly, and it's not just something we're going to run into. Our very first meeting we had with advisory group, and I think you were there, and one of the comments was that because of past things, we brought those all out on the table, and we had a lot of discussion about that night, and it kind of took me back because I wasn't really prepared for that because I didn't know what all went on and all that. But at the same time, the comments were made that if we couldn't talk about them in that first meeting, we didn't want to go 4, 5, 6 meetings and then talk about it and have something brought up and then throw the whole thing out or whatever. So I was really thankful that that was brought up at that very first meeting. And a lot of those discussions have continued on through all of this. And very much aware of those. The people on this Engage are very much aware of those. And maybe, I think, sometimes even maybe making too much of a concerted effort not to have it like the previous one. But at the same time, learning from it. We need to go forward and learn from that. And this is a new Engage is brand new. It's something we're starting up.
Process.
It's a new process. Just like Rex said, it's a new process, and we're moving forward, and we're trying to get something going in the county. And like Matt said, too, we as a county and we as a city, yet Roger and Tobias are working on that, and that will be in addition to this. That's more from what the county, I guess, for our money, that's kind of what we're telling them they need to do if they want to keep getting our money. That's the way I kind of look at that or whatever, and that's an agreement that will be made between the county, the city, and Engage or whatever. So the other thing was, I think everybody should have got a copy of it too, our articles of incorporation or whatever. That has been filed. They are officially a 501c company. They're their own entity. And in reference to that, then, one other thing they just quick talked about was the financing and the amount of, you know, the money that the city and the county have pledged. They are setting up a bank account now. They will, I believe they are going to pretty soon start ask for some money from the city and the county so that they can start paying some of the expenses that they're starting to have come in.
Going back to what we were discussing just a second ago, I think we want to make sure that we don't try and draw comparisons between the two, but being it's brought up, I don't believe, you know, I don't know where the pay for a seat thing came from, because that there wasn't ever any independent funds that were given to that company before. There wasn't any buying of seats, so I don't know where that's coming from or whatever. That don't make any sense to me. But I think we need to try not to draw comparisons, because this is a completely different setup, and from what I've seen, it's completely different. I guess I'm a little bit confused as to where we're getting this buy a seat thing came from, because in the old setup, there wasn't any seats bought. The important thing to remember is that you got a nominating committee. As long as it's a good functioning nominating committee, it doesn't matter if you're given funds or not. Because with the nominating committee, they're going to put forth the candidates that are then going to be elected. So.
But I think this is good discussion. You know, in our agenda now, under committee reports, we always have economic development. And if we go real back in the day, I think that was part of it, was there was, for whatever reason, communication seemed to break down. So I think this is good that we have these discussions on an ongoing basis. And if it takes a majority of our meeting, I think what's happening locally and nationally right now is economic issues. And if we talk about those, that's good. That's good business.
Any more questions for economic development? Okay, we have a 9:15 time agenda item at 9:25. Need a motion to close all bids for the used dump truck.
So moved.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Juergens. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to close. We do not have any bids for the dump truck.
So maybe have a discussion why we don't.
when this got started, we're in need of a dump truck down there to replace one. That's, anyway, there was one that came up. Excellent price. Excellent truck. That we wanted to look at real hard. We did. Galen drove up and even looked at it. The price was there. The price was where we had set, even below that. Consequently, I said, well, let's move on this thing because it looks to me like a good deal. Well, we have to bid it out, so we went ahead and put the specs out, bid it out. Consequently, the truck was sold before we could go through the process to buy it. So that's where we're sitting, and I was a little bit afraid of that. We all were because the trucks like that we need aren't readily available all the time. This would have been a good one, but it was sold to a private industry, and when somebody has the cash, they're going to buy it. So that's what happened to it. So
okay. Any more discussion on the dump trucks? Emergency Management EMS Committee report.
Didn't have a meeting the last 2 weeks. We're going to be having one possibly the end of this week. We are working currently on getting the storm spotter set up. That'll be in the next meeting. We'll have that discussion and vote. Other than that, I haven't heard anything on the radios lately, so I think we must be doing good there.
Might change tonight.
Might change tonight.
Doug, what's it saying tonight? Is there severe coming in? Okay. Equalization Committee report.
Really, we're waiting on the notices going out and for people to get all excited about the wonderful values of their property. And so we'll be having meetings on protests. I think it was very good that Kathy and Patty were on the radio this last week and did an excellent job in presenting relative to our equalization. So that's a very good thing, and we're just waiting right now.
Okay. Finance.
Again, I'm just planning for budgets. Going to be sending emails and letters out, encouraging folks to, if you've got a balance in your budget, you don't need to dump your budget. You know, we're not planning on doing a bunch of cuts. Spend what you need to, and if we can carry some over, that's a good thing. Still think, you know, there haven't been any curveballs, knock on wood. We're in a good financial position to still be able to fund those sinking funds. Things are getting done. People are getting taken care of. Probably looking at those parks and recreation grants, Don. I think we had 4, maybe 5 that were turned in. The deadline was Friday. So we'll be reviewing those and make that determination by the end of May. A recommendation that'll come before the board. So,
how many cities and villages do we have?
14. Is there 14, Don? I think there's 14 that would be eligible.
Sounds about right. About what we
sent
out.
We had 4 or 5 that turned them in. I think some I left in the tree. I have a couple with me. So,
okay. Anything else, Matt? Human resource, employee relations.
We did not meet this period, but I do want to clarify something that came out on the radio. I don't think that my committees are boring. It's just that right now there's not a whole lot going on with them.
Sometimes when it's that committee, boring's a good thing.
So let's name the people on the committee that are boring. Who is that? Because I'm not on any of your committees, so I'm not.
They will be getting more active as the year progresses.
Okay. Insurance.
Currently waiting on some dates to get set up some employee meetings to go over what our insurance is and what the benefits are. So hopefully we'll have a date set up here within the next 4 or 5 days.
Okay. Thank you. Law enforcement.
We didn't have a meeting, I guess, just to update a little bit on that jail. The work's going on there. It's pretty much, I don't know, guess or no more, it's pretty much done, I think, or most of it's done or whatever.
They're probably halfway. They're going to They got sheetrocking done, and so I think he's planning on being done into the week.
It's going. Oh, wait.
The plumber's hooking back up. We haven't had air conditioning and plumbing for a few days, so that's maybe a little alley. But outside of that, they're moving along.
They're moving along. Okay.
Getting there.
They're working on. So. Other than that, we didn't have, we did not have a meeting either.
Gus, while you're sitting there, I'm going to put you on the hot seat. Not really.
He's got a pistol. He's got a pistol.
Yeah, but I'm sitting still.
Get you from here, don't worry.
I was asked a question by the public. Has the sheriff's office entertained any ideas when fuel's so high of instead of, even though state law says 60 miles an hour, are they driving the 50 to 55? When they just really are patrolling the roads. Are you working, is there any internal policies on reduction of fuel? And that's the question. So I just haven't seen him to ask outside.
Well, at the pre-reduction, fuel is going to be limiting your cars, how many have out there, or doubling up, which we've done in the past, in years past, when it was higher. Back in the 80s, I believe, we doubled up. Your speed, obviously, they should be going their speed limit, but there's nothing in place dictating other than the speed limit. If I have any reductions, it's going to have to be through the vehicles or doubling up, because I don't think it's that big a savings. And of course, people have to understand also, lots of times we're just not cruising around at 56 miles an hour. We're usually going someplace pretty hot.
We have, and maybe that's where they're making
a
reference.
We probably had around 7,000 calls for service last year. And it's easy for somebody to sit there and say, well, can you do this? But if it's you needing the help or hurting or scared, you're wanting to say ASAP, you know. So, no, nothing quite yet. I'm going to wait and see how we work out in the budget and where gas prices go, and just see from there.
I think it's a fair question.
Sure.
You know, we need
sure
to look at all those where we spend X amount of dollars on fuel every year, what we can do.
I don't want to go to smart cars, I can tell you that. So.
You would look good.
I'm
one.
Sure I would.
Take those out of the budget. No, no, no.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Road and bridge, Terry.
Yes, everybody should have an activity report on the last 2 weeks of the department down there. Discussion items we had, the new hire began working, I think, Monday down there. Bid specs were released on a 3/4-ton pickup and a 1-ton chassis, which was in the budget. Galen is looking at hiring 2 temporary employees for flagging. The asphalt crew will be getting started here shortly, so there'll be a part-time and hiring, maybe working to 1 full-time employee yet. We had a meeting on the Philly North project. Nothing's been resolved there. A higher rating on the bridge by Claytonia. That went up, and then discussions on the wages, upcoming wages for budget. We talked about that. And that's basically about it.
Okay. On the Philly North, I did go to Lincoln and talk to Larry Legg with the Department of Roads. He would like to extend. He wants to help. All the answers that you expect to hear, but it always ended up with a but. I would like to change the time frame. But your environmental report was done late. Well, that statement, we have a list of engineers we can give our environmental report to per state guidelines. They are the state qualified people this goes to. So we hand our environmental report to these people. We may end up 6 deep on the table. They take them as we go. So when they get to us, we were not late. They were late in reviewing it. We cannot offer or start appraisals until they release the right-of-way acquisition. They have not done that. I asked if they could waiver it. I asked if they could modify their time frame. Everything was, I'd really like to, but you are currently 3rd on the list, but are you going to make the time frame? It's an unachievable goal they've set right now. In reality of the project, went to limbo yesterday when the consulting engineer and Galen met with the landowners, and the landowners will not probably donate. So now it's into the appraisal. We cannot start any of the appraisal. We cannot start right-of-way acquisition until the state releases it. If their date is a draw in the sand, this is it. There's no movement of that line. That project is not going to happen. The bridge is sound. The bridge is solid right now. We may have to scale down what we do and eliminate the federal aid part of 3/8 of a mile of blacktop, softening a curve. Down the road, if the bridge does become deficient, we may have to look at all we're replacing is a bridge and no road repair, no improvement of the safety concern on a curve that historically has caused problems. Those issues may not be reality if the state, if we do not come into the federal aid end of it. Jenny's here representing Norm. Do you want to comment or anything on what you can or can't do?
I'm just here to facilitate.
You're just here to listen, okay. So I guess I don't really know where to turn. Galen is going to keep calling the state, asking about, you know, when our environmental is released, when our right-of-way is released, so we can proceed. And otherwise, Matt.
I did have a contact with Olson Associates, who was the firm that was supposed to do our environmentals, and I got a call back, and the person I spoke with wasn't directly involved in that project, but assured me that they had completed everything they needed to complete. It wasn't on the engineering firm. So everything's done and waiting.
Kathy.
Rex, I know that it was explained at the last meeting, but I think that it may, because last night there was a lot of misperception about who dropped the ball here, and I think it might be a good thing to reiterate what happened and why we're in this position as far as the federal aid dollars.
I don't believe anyone technically dropped the ball. The state changed the rules. Federal aid project is you, when there's a certain level of deficiencies, your bridge, you can't even enter into these agreements till you have a certain level of deficiency on a bridge. That bridge is sheer physical size alone is probably, I'm just guessing, 300,000 to 600,000. That's a guess, is what it is. And, so you apply for federal aid where hopefully you have 20% is all you end up paying. And our soft match money, which we have soft match money up in Lincoln, would be our 20%. So you apply for these bridges, and then they have certain angles that you have to hit, certain goals you have to achieve in a time frame. I think they said this bridge was started in 2005. I'm somewhere around there. So as far as a federal aid bridge, that's actually moving a lot faster than a lot of them we've ever done. And we, in reality, if the state would have stayed in their same time frame, that bridge was going to be bid in when?
Probably maybe next year.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we were that close. But
next year.
We are following the criteria the state allows us to do. Or not allows. That's the only way we can follow is what the state says we can do on this. So, I mean, will the bridge ever be closed? It may be closed, but can we repair it? Yes, we can. That's why you do your sinking bridge funds. That's why you prepare for the future. It is the only hard surface road accessing the southern end to the northern end. We have an ethanol plant. It may not be right there, but it is 12 miles away, and it is a road to the ethanol plant. The state tells me, you know, that there's collectors, artilleries, there's major routes, and the local roads, you know, if that's proved efficient, then we need to find another route. Well, how many miles either way do you have to go to find another route? And it would be okay if everyone stayed on the state highways, but that's not reality. So as far as dropping the ball, you need to blame somebody. And that's all I'm going to say, is that it's easier to blame somebody than to understand sometimes that some things are out of your control.
Yep, Chairman.
Yeah.
Well, really, even the drop in the ball or whatever, it was 3 weeks ago when Galen got a call and said, hey, you're going to get this done by May? And everyone kind of said, oh, what are you talking about? Why did you bump that timeline up? My impression was they bumped the timeline up, and then they said, well, do you really want to do this anyway? Yes, we do. I think we were squeezed on the timeline to try and get us to squeeze the project out. And we said no.
You want to touch about state buying or federal dollars?
And the other thing is that soft match money ends this year.
Yes, it does.
So that's the other thing in this, that soft match money ends. So if you don't have that project started, we're going to lose that soft match money that we have banked all these years counting on being able to use it. Now they're pulling them from us. So it's not a, it's a state issue as far as I'm concerned, not a county.
You want to touch on the buyback dollars?
And just my impression of the whole buyback dollar situation, where they're giving us 80 cents on every dollar that would have been federal highway dollars and now going to be state dollars, the state's trying to refunnel those dollars to state projects. And so they have to peel back a lot of these programs and stuff they put down at the local level. Well, that's well and good if we're talking a couple hundred dollars. But when we've been in these federal and state programs for years and we've accumulated a sizable amount of money to do some sizable projects,
some thousands,
you expect those dollars to be there for those projects. And when you go through the process and you follow everything and somebody squeezes a timeline, I liken it to if your mortgage is due on the 30th and your bank shows up on the 2nd and says, pay me now or you're out. And there's no forewarning. And so that the timeline was really that short. It's a project that a couple boards before me started going. My understanding is we've done everything we've needed to. It's the unrealistic timeline that's got us in a pickle. And, you know, I'd like to. Well, then do it. That's my thought. But my impression is that's where the state's trying to roll back a lot of those dollars because the state's got a lot of highways. They've got a lot of personnel. They've got a lot of things they need to do with those dollars, too, and they're looking at taking those back from the local end. So.
They clear it up?
Right. And I really understood, but I just thought it should kind of go out on the record to the public again because there seems to be a lot of misperception that we didn't do our part.
Anything else under Road and Bridge?
Mike? Oh, no. I got RC&D in a little bit, okay. Not Road and Bridge.
There was discussion about the use of our consulting engineer and the cost for that. And Dawn's pulled some numbers here, and I was shooting this back and forth to her. What we've used with Mark Minnelli and his firm over the last 6 months or since August, is that roughly? And what's the number? I mean,
if you take Hickory Road out of there, it looked like it was approximately $10,000.
So $10,000 to work with our highway superintendent to provide expert professional service and consulting from an engineer. So $10,000, the Hickory project was a different deal. We had through an interlocal, or not an interlocal group, but a contract. I believe we it's $45,000 that we contracted to finish that project. So general day-to-day referencing and assisting our highway superintendent, $10,000 over 6 months.
And that has to do with projects we're just talking about, that Philly North project, to make sure it gets done correctly and all those things. There's a lot of paperwork goes with that to get it done, and he just says this is what you do, and then Dayla takes it from there.
Our asphalt reviews?
All that kind of stuff's coming up, yes,
yeah,
in
so
July.
It's really good
core samples, 1 and 6 year plan, budget, personnel efficiency, going through workflow plans, things like that. So really a comprehensive approach for $10,000 over 6 months from a professional engineer.
And some of those things, for instance, we put the stop signs up at Adams and the speed limit sign down there at Ellis. Some of those you needed an engineer to sign off on anyway. Some of those would have been, part of that would have been a cost to the county, whether or we had Mark hired or not. We would have had to hire an outside firm because you needed an engineer to sign off on some of those projects.
So we would have used him on a lot of these projects anyway.
Some of them we would have used him on anyway, yes, because by guidelines or by statute, you have to have certain things done certain ways. And so I know the stop signs, Galen said the stop signs and the one at Ellis there, he would have had to come down and review all those anyway, and he would have had to have his stamp on there as an engineer. We would have needed an engineer stamp on there to approve those.
If you ever get an opportunity to visit with Mark, and you sit in the room with the guy for 30 seconds, and it's just amazing the amount of knowledge that the gentleman has because he's a professional engineer. He shoots you straight. He's not going to tell you what you want to hear. He's going to tell you what you need to know. And sometimes you don't like it, but he shoots you straight all the time. You always know where he's coming from.
So. Anything else for Road and Bridge? Myron, RC&D.
RC&D. We met last Thursday, and we met, normally we meet over at Tecumseh, but we met out at the Homestead National Monument, partly because of everything that's going on out there, and I really appreciate that. I will say that I wanted to bring up that anybody has the opportunity to go and look out at the Homestead Act or whatever that is, quite something to see. Mark Engler commented that the bus is showing up. They'll have three or five scheduled for a day. They've been
getting 8 and 10 buses a day of kids coming out there. It's just amazing. But the RC&D, we had our meeting out there, talk there again on budgets and some of those things. I'll visit with Matt over some of those. But one of the things, Willis Ludke from Saline County, he mentioned, I talked to Kathy about this. They are on the Blue Cross and Blue Shield. They're not with NERMA and self-insure like we are. They just got back that their insurance increase for next year is coming back at zero. So I just to let some of the insurance people know that, the committee, so that when ours come back and they say, well, everybody's having a 10% increase or whatever, you're aware of that not everybody's having a 10% increase this year. He did not mention what they had last year, if they had a big increase last year and small this year or whatever. Then one other comment, and this is, I guess, more, I should have maybe Road and Bridge, visited with the guy down there from Richardson County again. They had another bridge go down. If you go up to John Deere, they got pictures of a tractor and a hydrogen machine going down through this bridge, and it folded right in the middle. And talked about that because I said, well, you've got some costs there. And he says, oh, no. He says, good insurance company there helps a lot. So, and he's looking at that doing themselves, and they're looking at $900,000 to $1 million cost of that bridge project. But he said they know who – I mean, it was a co-op that actually had the machine and everything. So he says, oh, no, he says a good insurance policy does a lot to replace a bridge when something like that happens. So I said, oh, we want one over here at Philly. We'd like that one, Doug. It would speed everything up.
Any other committee reports? Anything else for the good of the order?
Bring up out at the fairgrounds today.
Go ahead.
Yeah. The livestock friendly, I think they're starting stuff around 12 o'clock, but the presentation is going to be around 12:40 with Lieutenant Governor Shively out there at the fairgrounds. They have a back to the farm thing with a lot of third graders from all over the county in, and they're doing that this morning, and they'll be there at noon too. But make sure everybody who can go out and attend that. That's our livestock friendly approval from the state, and they're presenting that to us out there at Gage County Rex to be talking on that stuff too. So.
Yeah, I didn't know about that until I got that in the mail.
The letter that you, yeah.
So, anything else for the good of the order? Anything else for the good of the order? Gage County Board of Supervisors adjourned at 9:50.